Something's telling us that we shouldn't be doing this tonight.
I don't see you for saying aye, we can do it. Prick.
Yes, fire away.
Lubricating my mouth first.
I didn't want to know what you're lubricating. I can't even fucking say it. You're lubricating your mouth with. So, are we ready to go then?
Ready to go. Sorry, I need to yawn again.
Oh my god. Right, we'll try and get this done as quickly as possible. We'll try for 45 minutes, right?
We'll try.
Right, let's go.
Fuck's sake. Inhaled the air there, my chode.
Oh my god, things just aren't going well tonight at all, are they?
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.
Manchester, brace yourself. Rangers are coming!
Hi everyone, and welcome to the next episode of the I Ready podcast. As ever, I'm your host Derek, and with me is my co-host Dave. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm very well, Derek. How's yourself?
Not bad. This is a rather unscheduled and impromptu, isn't it? It's considering we were meant to be recording after the game tomorrow.
Well, it's usually scheduled and impromptu from us, Derek, isn't it? I don't really think it matters about the timescale, but no, it has been a great week for the Rangers support, Derek. Some fantastic results, which I'm sure you're about to get into, and looking forward to the games ahead.
Absolutely. I'm not even sure impromptu is a word, you know, when I said that there.
It sounded quite good, though.
Ah, I always sound good, though, don't I? Especially when I'm doing accents or singing.
Aye, or you start coughing as soon as you start the intro.
I dreamed a dream when time went by.
No, I prefer the coughing, to be honest with you.
Yes, a couple of games to look into here. The Mittelland game, the second leg there, and the win against East Fife. So, we'll go down the tunnel and onto the pitch. I was trying to think of something else there to say, but it never really worked.
No, it's a timeless classic, that, yeah. Isn't it?
Why mess with a classic? I need to fuck it up to be a classic, though, don't I?
That's true, yeah, exactly.
Yes, so the first game we've got to cover is the Thursday the 15th of August. It was a 3-1 win at home to Mittelland in the Europa League qualifier, round 3, leg 2, which meant we won 7-3 in aggregate, so can't really argue with that, and this team wasn't any mugs, were they?
No, this was a very, very good opposition, Derek. I don't care what anybody says. Very physical, very well organised. And, you know, Derek, that aggregate scoring, there's nobody would have, you know, predicted that we would have scored that amount of goals into a team as good as that. So, you know, absolutely fantastic. And as you're about to get into, a very professional performance in the second leg.
Yeah, absolutely. Just on about the aggregate score there, you know, certain journalists would have it said that, you know, Mittelland are no great shakes, but, you know, I think they're sitting second in the league. At the time, this reporter made a comment on BT Sport, and they'd only conceded one goal or something until they met Rangers, so...
It's not like reporters on live TV, you make an absolute... titting themselves over the last week or so. Tom Boyd.
Yes, we'll get into that later, but we lined up McGregor, Tavernier, Goldson, Katic, Flanagan, Jack, Kamara, Davis, Ojo, Arfield and Morelos. On the subs bench we had Fotheringham, Hellander, Barisic, Doherty, Aribo, Jones and Defoe, so obviously a few changes there. Yep. And it was quite obvious that, you know, if we scored a quick goal, then the game was over. We just obviously had to keep it tight at the back, and that was largely the game plan. You know, keep it at 0-0 as long as we could, and, you know, we're sorted, but yep. we decided to go for goals, which was obviously good to see.
Mm-hmm.
First minute, Ojo came charging down the left wing, cuts inside and then taken out outside the box. No foul given despite the ref having a long look at it. So there was a, you know, as we're going to be talking about referees, other bad decisions again that go against us, but we just take it in our stride half the time. Second minute, it was a nice quick 1-2 passing by Mittelland, got the ball in the box and had a shot across the goal from the right hand side. It was going just by the left hand post. That was a dangerous move and it just showed you, you know, they were up for it as well. And, you know, had that went in, it turned the tie on its head. So,
yeah, definitely.
So, bit maybe poor defending there, but well, we got away with that one there. Fourth minute, Ojo puts in a cross in the box from the left-hand side at the touchline. A good ball in the middle, but nobody was there. Sixth minute, it was good play on the left side, working the ball to Kamara in the box. Looks as if he was going to pass, but again, dropped the shoulder, opened the space opened up, and he took a shot. It was a weak effort, it was going wide, but a comfortable save from the keeper anyway.
Yep.
Ninth minute, quick break down the right, ending in Arfield feeding the ball into the box to Ojo. The space opened up and he got a shot off, but it was scuffed. Another comfortable save for the keeper, but at least we're putting the keeper under, you know, making the keeper make a save at least.
Anyway. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then we went 1-0 up and tie over on the 14th minute with Morella scoring. Outstanding ball from Arfield out to the left to Ojo, who took the ball into the box, looked up, passed to Morellas at the back post, who controls it, and he rounded the sliding in defender and shoots it into the back of net. Brilliant goal.
Yep, certainly was, Derek. You know, cool and calm, under pressure. Only one thing on his mind, and as you say, great control to take it round the defender. It was sliding in to make the last gasp tackle, got away from him and put the ball away. Perfect. Great start for us.
Yep. 31st minute, lovely ball down the right by Arfield to the on-running Morellas. Morellas took it forward into the box, had a shot at an angle, but the keeper saved out for the corner. It was a good effort there. And then we went 2-0 up on the 38th minute, and that certainly was the tie over after that.
Yes.
Arfield got the ball in midfield, and it was a lovely initial touch, but then the second touch, the ball kind of got away from him, and their midfielder got the ball. However, pure determination from Arfield, and he slid in and wins the ball back. Plays another outstanding long ball up to Morellas, who has a poor first touch, which put it to the left hand side of the box. Morellas again then regains control. He looks up, crosses to Ojo on the deck, who slides in and puts it past the keeper. Brilliant goal, and it was all really down to Arfield with one, firstly his lovely touch, and then just the sheer determination from him to get the ball back and make up for his mistake. Brilliant there.
I think it was, you know, give the two of them credit there, Derek, as you say, for Arfield sort of chasing that, you know, the chance down, putting the tackle in, playing the ball up to Morellas. Morellas, as you say, a poor first touch for him, but still able to make something out of it. The awareness of him knowing that Ojo was coming through, you know, the ball played through, and I know another sort of clinical finish there for us and tie over, just like you said.
Yeah, I mean, that was... both goals started by Arfield, and it was like a carbon copy but switched players. Obviously the first one was Ojo on the left outside and then played across into Morellas, and then this time it was Morellas played across into Ojo and scored. And so outstanding link up play between both of them there, and certainly seemed to have a good understanding between the both of them.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then just before half time, Ojo had a free kick on the edge of the box on the left, up and over the wall, forcing the keeper to pull off a diving save and out for the corner, and basically the half time whistle blew after that. So
yes,
game was over. It was just more of a formality. Don't pick up any yellow cards, don't pick up any injuries, and the second half we'd done that and even added to our tally as well.
I think possibly Michelin knew at that point, Derek, that the tie was over. Going into the second half, and as you say, I think it was more, I was more worried about injuries than anything else, but thankfully as you're about to get into, we came away for that unscathed and still put in a very good performance.
Yep. And then really straight away after the kickoff, 48th minute, we scored our third goal of the night with Morella scoring. It was a long header from Katic from midfield down to Ojo on the left wing. Took it forward, saw Morellas in the box, put an inch-perfect cross, and he knocked it into the back of the net by Morellas as well. The Ojo-Morellas connection.
Yeah, sorry to speak over you. Yeah, no, it was, mate. It was a great, great play again. And just like you said, understanding between the, you know, the midfield going forward, knowing exactly where everybody is, knowing when to put the cross and everything in, that's fantastic to see, Derek. And, you know, confidence at, you know, the supreme high at that point in the game. And, you know, I really thought it was going to be at least another sort of two or three at that point. They were playing so well, and, you know, the football was very fluid. Bloon. It was just great to watch.
Yep. Not long after that, though, Mighty again showed their skill way. They had a long ball on the left near to our box. It was a lovely first touch, and with his second touch, hits a shot, but it was a comfortable save from McGregor. Again, about 7 minutes later, in the 57th minute, they went down the right-hand wing. Great cross into the centre of our box. Bounces a couple of times right to their attacker, who from within the six-yard box hits a shot, and McGregor managed to save it with his legs and out for the corner. Outstanding save from McGregor there.
Yeah, great save.
Yep. 60th minute, Mighty down the right hand side, and he hits a shot but went into the side net. And so certainly after we scored our third, I don't know if we maybe just taken the foot off the gas a wee bit, knowing it was over, and they certainly had a wee flurry of chances there. 67th minute, Jack and Ojo came off, Doherty and Jones came on. 70th minute, there was a powerful shot from 25 yards from Mighty, but it was well saved by McGregor, and then they pulled the goal back on the 71st minute. Ball really wasn't ultimately dealt with. They got the ball on the right hand side, across at pace on the deck, the attacker nipped in between the defenders and tapped into the net. Certainly from when we scored our third goal, they were the more dangerous team, and it was almost like it was, you know, to hell with it, we're going for it now, it's, you know, tie over, but we can only just, you know, try and leave gaps at the back. And certainly they did have the better of the game from that point, and, you know, they got their just desserts with a goal there.
Yeah, I think it was more what you said though as well, Derek. We were kind of had slowed it down to, you know, after we scored the third goal, we were in complete control, well, like I said, and then, you know, we just sort of put it down to sort of training game pace at that point. And just like you said, to be fair to them, they never gave up. You know, they were still going out to try and score, and they did score, but I do feel that we could have upped our game at any point, Derek, after that.
Yeah. 72nd minute, Jones hit a shot from the edge of the box on the left wing, forcing the keeper to make a save. It was a decent effort. 79th minute, Jones had a shot from distance on the left, but a comfortable save at the keeper at near post. 80th minute, Doherty to Morelos on the left side of the box, took a touch, had a shot, but it was saved by the keeper, rebounded out, and Arfield couldn't head the rebound, goal bound, unfortunately. And then the last piece of play I've got in the game here is the 81st minute, Morelos off, Defoe on. Morelos did kind of get a wee bit injured because he ran into the advertising hoarding for the chance where he just had there, but I think it was more of a precaution because he was fine that game, as he was walking off anyway. Yeah, so, you know, certainly a very impressive performance, both legs and tie over, and that's obviously set us up for the game that's going to be tonight against Liga Warsaw.
Yes, a game on paper, Derek, if you'd have said to me, I would have said that this was going to be the much harder game and, you know, a better team. I'm not one for listening to what a lot of people say on social media. There's a lot of people I've got as have won this tie already. This is going to be another very difficult tie. They're a very well-known club in European football. I don't think that Polish football is going through its best phase at this moment in time, right enough, so hopefully we will have enough. But I've been reading a few reports on them. Apparently they're a very, very, very good team on the break. They use both wings very, very well. So we just have to be mindful of that. But hopefully we go into the same mindset as we have, you know, our last few European ties, and you know, we got a good result over there. I'm really looking forward to this one, actually, Derek.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be a tough game. I don't think they've got as big a pedigree as they were certainly known for back in the day, but they've started a league. I think they've played 4-1-2 as well. So maybe not the best of starts for them, but certainly it's early days into their season as well. You know, the atmosphere is obviously going to be hostile as well. And, you know, we'll just need to see how it goes. So we'll get into that shortly, though. So obviously the next game we've got to cover here is Sunday the 18th of August. It was a 3-0 win away at East Fife in the second round of the League Cup. So we made 10 changes for this game, where we started off with Fotheringham, Polster, Hellander, Edmondson, Halliday, Aribo, Kamara, Doherty, Stewart, Jones and Defoe. On the subs bench we had Firth, King, Barker, Murphy, Barisic, Katic and Hasty. Now, for the Celtic game the previous day, they really struggled against Dunfermline, which was really surprising, taking into extra time, and they got a bit of a fluky deflected goal, I think, to win 2-1 after extra time. And one thing that came out, and a lot of people were bumping their gums at, is the fact that Scott Brown was dropped, and people were saying, oh, we've got to read a lot into this, but no, you looked at, you know, I said at the time, we're going to make a hell of a lot of changes as well, because no disrespect to these five, this was going to be a bit of a formality, and it kind of turned out to be a bit of a formality afterwards, because obviously you see that the likes of Morelos wasn't even on the bench for this game. So I think in this day and age, people read too much into team selections than really it has to be, don't they?
Yes, no, I think we were all expecting it, Derek, let's be honest. And the thing that's impressive for me, again, you're going to get into the performance and the way the team played and stuff like that, but to make 10 changes to a team and still look on paper like we've got a very, very strong team, Derek, as you know, it's fantastic, and it's something that we've been needing for a long time, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, the depth of squad is immense now, I think. Yep. And, you know, it's that whole two players for one position scenario we've got now, and that's what Gerrard wanted. It's going to cause issues potentially with some players if we, you know, maintain this good form. Players are not going to get a lot of game time. There's going to be subbed in and out all the time as well. So trying to keep a massive squad like that happy is going to be problematic, but arguably it's a good problem to have, obviously.
Exactly. So, Derek, I think, you know, what we have been through over the last few years, are really, you know, players are needing to be as professional as possible, and they're needing to all look at this as being, you know, if there's somebody else there vying for their position, then, you know, they've really got to be at the top of their game to be getting, you know, a game for the team, so it can only be good. And I think we as supporters, again, going by the last few years, I think we're needing to forget about who our favourite players are and having loyalty to certain players just because, you know, we like them or things that they've said and all of that. We can't go for things like that anymore. We really need to have to go for players who are on form and players that are going to do something for the club. It's the only way that you can move forward. It's a very, very good problem to have, and I'm all in favour for us having a huge squad that are going to push each other. I really am.
Yeah, I mean, there was a few players in this game, they never really had their best game, and I'll take Andy Halliday as an example. And quite rightly, Halliday had been criticised previously in previous regimes under Rangers for, you know, not being the most switched on, not being the best player. And when you criticised him, people started having a go at you for criticising him. Oh, he's, you know, a major Rangers fan, he's one of us and all that kind of thing. And at the end of the day, that didn't win football games, and quite clearly
exactly.
It didn't.
Exactly, yep.
But, you know, he got absolutely slated in this game. People calling for his head, oh, he's not Rangers class, etc, etc. But the whole team never really had a great game. And there was obviously mitigating circumstances with the fact that the pitch was another 3G pitch. The weather played a big part in it as well. Wasn't conducive for good football, both of them. And we made 10 changes. So, you know, we won 3-0. It was comfortable. I think they had one or two half chances throughout the game. So, as I said in the reaction pod, I'm not going to be disappointed with this game. There was a lot of, you know, mitigating circumstances that done that. Yes, it never made it an exciting game, but we're going to have slogs throughout the season. There's going to be teams that, you know, play very tight, and, you know, they're going to cause us issues like that, and it's up to us to break them down. And at the end of the day, we progressed through into the next round. That's the thing that matters.
Yep, definitely.
Yep. So in terms of this game, in the fifth minute, there was a charging run with the ball down the left-hand side by Jones, cuts inside and gets into the box at the touchline. There was a little nudge off the ball and he goes down. A massive claim for a penalty. There wasn't much attempt to play for the ball, so it could have been absolutely given straight away. And, you know, we got up and got on with it. There's not been this outcry, you know, oh, hell, you know, there's biased referees or anything like that. It was a referee mistake where it's one of these things that can be given for you, can be given against you. On this occasion, it was given against us. Wrongly, I think, but, you know, we get on with it, unlike the other side.
I certainly thought it was, Derek, when I seen it. But as you say, it was early in the game. You know, we were hoping that we were going to get a few goals and win the game quite easily, so I don't think it mattered that much. But I definitely did think it was a penalty at the time, but as you say, one of these things we got on with.
Yep. Ninth minute, Jones crosses. It was a kind of cross-come shot in from the left after some good possession play. Keeper had to make a save, but he spilled it, but we couldn't capitalise on it. Ninth minute, the ball wasn't cleared and it was knocked about, ending in Defoe having a shot on the turn inside the box, but it was saved at the near post by the keeper. 16th minute, it was a poor pass from Hellander to Kamara, who then gave the ball away. The ball comes to East Fife on the left hand side. Cut across comes in, falls to their attacker at the back, who had a shot, but Fodringham had come out and narrowed the angle and made a good save out for the corner. Really poor there. You know, it was a bit of a hospital pass from Hellander initially, but Kamara, he seems to be not having the greatest of times in the early part of the season compared with how he, you know, came into the squad. I don't know if there's maybe just a wee bit of overoddness in terms of all the changes that's going on and the fact that he's having to fight for his place now and he's maybe overthinking things, but certainly that was one of the things he was doing in this game and he has been doing previously this season, you know, giving the ball away a lot.
Yeah, again, Derek, I'm not quite sure what it is. He's suddenly, you know, he's gone from coming in, no pressure being on him, everybody raving about him, to this season, you know, maybe a wee bit more expectation, you know, fans thinking that he's a bit of a sort of mainstay in the centre of midfield. I don't know, we just have to hope that it's just a wee blip at the moment and he gets back to performing the way he was last season.
Yep. But we went a goal up on the 26th minute with Defoe scoring. Hellander took the ball from the defence, pass up to Defoe just outside the box. Defoe was actually facing away from the goal and an outstanding touch. One touch, he played the ball into the box on the left-hand side. He kind of spun and beat the two defenders. And then Defoe then had a touch to take it further into the box. And his second shot hit in the back of the net.
Yeah.
And passed the keeper. Outstanding goal. And what a touch that was, wasn't it?
It really was. It was, you know, that first touch to take out two players. You know, the defenders had absolutely no idea what was going on, Derek. And then his second touch again was also absolutely superb and a fantastic finish as well. It really was a top quality goal on that surface as well, Derek. Absolutely brilliant.
I mean, one thing we've seen of him over the last couple of games is not only is he a poacher and he'll get in there, but it's the fact that he can do this knock-on play and he's actually more of a player than I think we thought we were getting.
His vision's fantastic, Derek. And what, maybe it's, you know, his experience, I don't know, but he instinctively knows where all of his teammates are, you know, and as soon as the ball comes to him, you know, he knows where he's got to pass it to. He knows who's going to be in space. He knows who's making a run. As you say, absolutely fantastic player. And his awareness is just tremendous. It really, really is. It's great. And he's a joy to watch as well, Derek, when you see him opening the play up and bringing other people in. And to top that off, the goals he scored as well has just been absolutely brilliant.
Absolutely. And the last piece of play to round out the half year, in the 34th minute, it was a header by Halliday into the box to Defoe, who controlled it and then turned and hit a snapshot, but it hit the outside of the post and I think it went back into play and then cleared. But certainly not the most exciting games in the first half. Very few chances. They were kind of compacting their box quite a bit and they were trying to hit us in the break, but it was coming in really nothing.
Yep.
But again, you know, it was a professional performance so far, and that's how really the second half went as well.
Yes.
48th minute, it was a chance with Doherty getting the ball in the box, passing it to Defoe, who tried to spin and shoot, but this time it hit the side netting. And then we went 2-0 up on the 55th minute, with it's been credited as Hellander that's got the goal.
Yeah.
However, it could have been an OG, as we'll get into. It was a long free kick from the right into the back post. It was knocked down by the header Jones. Hellander got in front of the defender and headed it over the line. However, I think he might have headed it off the defender, who kind of then bundled it into the line. But certainly you look at all the stat sheets and all that, it's Hellander's got the goal.
Yes, I would credit it to him, Derek. He did, you know, intend to do it. It was, you know, he's hit it. It's taken a slight deflection off the defender, but you know, I think you can safely say that that's his goal.
Yep. 59th minute, Stewart and Doherty came off. Barker and King came on. That was obviously the new signing from Leicester, Andy King, who's came in a season long loan.
Mm-hmm.
69th minute, there was a drive and run from Aribo from midfield into the box and shot just by the opposite post. 71st minute, it was a good ball to Defoe in midfield, who turns, takes the ball forward, gets into the box and shoots, but had a bad bobble just before and the shot went skyward. They showed you a replay on RTV and it really did take a really bad bobble. It was running,
right,
you know, perfect, and then all of a sudden just bobble out of nowhere. It was a Tom Rogic penalty spot, maybe. I don't know. 74th minute was a shot from East Fife after the attacker got free in the box, but right at Fotheringham, and a comfortable save. In the 78th minute, Jones came off and Hasty came on, and then we went 3-0 up, and which is the last piece of play I've got mentioned here, on the 83rd minute with Aribo scoring. Connor from the left into the middle of the box. Keeper punches it but goes right up in the air. Aribo was facing away from goal and heads it goal bound. The defender tries to clear but falls to Aribo again, who pokes it through the defence from about 7 yards and goes into the back of the net.
Yes, excellent. I thought Aribo was probably about our best player in the second half, Derek. I really did think he was controlling things in midfield, starting off a lot of our attacks, you know, bringing the ball forward, looking, you know, to get things started. I thought he was excellent, thoroughly deserved his goal.
Yep, absolutely. So, a comfortable win in the end. We never really looked in danger of even drawing the game, never mind losing the game. Certainly, there was a good few near upsets over the course of the weekend as well, with the Premiership teams getting beaten by the kind of lesser division teams, or certainly taking a lot of them to extra time. It sets us up now. The draw was made after I got the reaction pod out, and we've been drawn away against Livingston, which was getting played on Wednesday, the 25th of September. It's a 19:45 kickoff. All four games in the quarter final are getting played at the same time, but ours has been shown live on TV apparently, which has drawn the rage of some fans, like the Aberdeen and Hearts fans. They're obviously playing each other, which, to be honest, probably is the tie of the round, but you know, but we are Rangers, so fuck them.
Exactly, and let's be honest, Derek, there's, you know, a lot more people, I think, are going to be wanting to watch a Rangers game than there is Hearts and Aberdeen, to be perfectly honest with you, especially down south. So, you know, that's what it all comes down to. That's what the TV companies all look for. So, as you say, fuck them.
Yep, exactly. So, obviously no league table to cover there, because the two games were not in the league. So, the games to come, as I said, tonight's game against Lega Warsaw, it's a 7 o'clock kick-off, and apparently we're taking 1,700 fans who have taken tickets, which is 10 times more than Celtic took in 2014 when they had a Champions League qualifier there. So,
fantastic.
All about the Rangers as well.
Superb, and I believe there's been a fan zone set up for the fans as well, sort of safe area for them all to go. So, as usual, I hope everybody, you know, stays safe, enjoys the game, and you know, they're there to cheer the team on for a good, you know, a good result.
Absolutely. Next game after that is Sunday the 25th of August. It's away to St Mirren, and that's an early kickoff at 12:15. After that, then, we've got the return leg against Lega Warsaw on the 29th of August. That's at 19:45. So hopefully we do the job tonight rather
than that. Yes.
And then the next game after that is Sunday the 1st of September at home to the Orcs in the Premiership, which is a 12:00 kickoff. So, you know, massive games coming our way shortly.
So
we'll see how we go with that.
Yes, definitely.
So, Dave, we'll now go into the classic match.
And there it is. The final whistle's gone. Rangers have won the European Cup Winners' Cup.
So, you've got a Tayside game, haven't you, for us this week, Dave?
That's right, Derek. I am taking us back 16 years ago, Derek, 2003. And it was the 2nd of January 2003 when we took on Dundee at Ibrox. And the Rangers team that day, Stefan Kloss, Craig Moore, Lorenzo Amoruso, Barry Ferguson, Claudio Caniggia, Michael Moles, Bob Malcolm, Ronald De Boer, Kevin Muscat, Ross and Lovenkranz on the bench for Rangers. McGregor, Stephen McLean, Stephen Thompson, who we had just signed. This was his first game. That is Stephen Thompson of sports scene fame that sits with our good friend Michael Stewart, not. And Christian Nerlinger and Billy Gibson. And for Dundee, their starting 11 was Julian Spironi, Smith, Mackay, Caballero, Gavin Ray, Zurab Kishnishvili, Milne, Hernandez, Mayer, Lovell and Brady. So the game kicked off, Rangers on the front foot, and we had an early chance to start off with Ronald De Boer, who was fantastic in this match. On the left-hand side, plays the ball to Peter Lovenkranz, who plays a 1-2 back to Ronald De Boer again, who sees Bob Malcolm of all people, running to the edge of the box, and De Boer lays off a fantastic ball to Bob Malcolm, who strides forward and hits a long-range shot, but straight at Julian Speroni. Great play by Ronald De Boer there. Then, a few minutes after that, Michael Mulls picks up the ball from a mistake in the Dundee midfield. He then picks the ball up and runs into the box and lays off Ronald De Boer. He hits a low shot, which is saved by the foot of Speroni and cleared out for a throw-in. So, really unlucky there. 5 minutes later after that, around about the 15th minute, Barry Ferguson again picks up a loose ball. He hits a shot, but it's a good few foot over the bar. But Rangers did eventually take the lead on the 21st minute.
Ferguson allows Caniggia to move. Ronald De Boer, Lee Mears come out to challenge him. Trying to put him off first of all, but the ball breaks through Ferguson! Barry Ferguson scores for the 14th time this season. It was Caniggia on to De Boer. He slipped the ball across, the touch came in. And Barry Ferguson set up with a touch of Claudio Caniggia. And he celebrates the opening goal.
Barry Ferguson picked up a loose ball in his own half. He sees Claudio Caniggia and plays it to Caniggia running through the midfield, who then plays the ball onto Ronald De Boer on the right-hand side. Now, both Caniggia and Barry Ferguson had continued the runs from midfield when Ronald De Boer picks up the ball on the right-hand side. He played a ball infield looking for Caniggia. But Caniggia and Ferguson both went for the ball along with the defender, and the ball sort of flicked up kindly for Barry Ferguson, who ran into the box and fires a fantastic shot past Speroni into the net to make it 1-0 Rangers. Great finish there. But only 2 minutes later, Dundee actually levelled it.
Two will slide for it. Smith will emerge with the ball. Now Cambiero fires it across. There's a chance! Equalising goal from Dundee's top scorer, Steve Lovell.
Caballero with a cross to the back post, and there was Lovell completely unmarked to put the ball into the back of the net. Shoddy defending the Rangers at that point. That made the game 1-1. A few minutes after that, Michael Mulls then picking the ball up in the Dundee half, spots an overlapping run by Peter Lovenkranz on the left-hand side, plays it through. Lovenkranz hits a rasping shot, saved at the near post by Speroni and gathered. And in another great chance, Speroni then hesitated with the goal kick. Peter Lovenkranz charged down his kick. The ball falls straight to Ronald De Boer, sort of halfway between the edge of the box and the halfway line, but he had a complete open goal and he attempted to hit it first time and passed the ball past the post. That was a great chance. If he had taken one touch, he would have had a much better chance of scoring there, but it still remained 1-1. And as the second half approached, thankfully Rangers were able to go in 2-1 up in the 44th minute.
Holds up. Brings Lovenkranz into the play. De Boer is there. This should be number two. And as Dundee were cut wide open. Ball played through by Michael Mulls. Lovenkranz didn't even need to look up. And Ronald De Boer, very cool finish indeed. And curls it into the net.
Michael Mulls picked the ball up in the halfway line, a ball to Lovenkranz, who is making yet another overlapping run on the left-hand side. He spots De Boer completely unmarked running through the edge of the box. He plays him in and he hits a superb chip shot past Julian Speroni into the goal to make it 2-1 Rangers. And that brought us to the end of the first half. Then into the second half, Lorenzo Amoruso in the halfway line plays the ball forward to Ronald De Boer, and again, another overlapping run by Peter Lovenkranz into the box. Thundering shot saved by Speroni and out for the corner. Then Barry Ferguson, 1-2 with Ronald De Boer, shoots, but again, just over the bar. Very unlucky there. And then on the 61st minute, Stephen Thompson makes his debut for Rangers, coming off the bench to replace Claudio Caniggia. And then Thompson's first touch actually plays Peter Lovenkrantz through a one-on-one with Julian Speroni. He shoots in another fantastic save by Speroni to keep the match 2-1 to Rangers. Then Dundee had the chance to equalise later on in that match. Lovell shakes off the challenge from Lorenzo Amoruso into Stefan Kloss. He shoots. It's saved by Kloss, back to Lovell again, but after a poor clearance, he scuffs the ball, and thankfully, it goes straight into Stefan Kloss's hands. A big let-off for Rangers there. But then, with only 8 minutes remaining, Rangers made sure of the points. We had been putting them under a lot of pressure. It finally paid off.
Into McLean. McLean will play it wide for Ronald De Boer. De Boer will return it. The script was written for Stephen Thompson, and the former Dundee United man scores against Dundee and wraps up all 3 points. McLean was involved, he pulled it out wide, De Boer turned it back across, and it from inside the 6 yard box, Stephen Thompson nets his first Rangers goal.
Lovenkrantz on the left again, passes the ball to the centre edge of the box. McLean, who was on at this stage, a one touch and pass to the right hand byline to Ronald De Boer. He hits a low cut back to Stephen Thompson, who slots the ball into the net for his first goal for Rangers on his debut. Fantastic stuff for Rangers. Great play in the box. Really unselfish ball, the players there. And Thompson getting his first goal for Rangers. Rangers then saw the match out after that. And the game finished 3-1 to Rangers. Fantastic victory. Some great play. And in particular, watching Ronald De Boer and Peter Lovenkrantz, who were fantastic in that match. That's a bit, you know, closer. Derek, surely you can remember that one?
No. You see, to be honest with you, when you picked this one, I was like, really, is that your classic match?
There you go.
No, yes, it was. I watched the highlights there, so what we could find on YouTube, and you know, another good victory. Is, you know, it's something we've finally got back in our team just now, is the character to, you know, when we lose a goal, to come back in and win convincingly as well. So certainly it's what we're picking up from, and obviously had some amazing players like the De Boer, you know, in that team, but we had some absolute howlers as well, like
Bob Malcolm. Kevin Musk. No, it was great. Actually, what I enjoyed particularly, Derek, was watching Peter Lovenkrantz, because he was excellent in this game, and it was constantly, every time we were going forward, he would always make himself available down the left-hand side. Absolutely brilliant. And when you've got players like Ronald De Boer there, you always knew that there was going to be chances getting made, especially if you were a winger down the channels and all that. No, it was great stuff, and you know, it was good to look back, because it's games that you do forget about, and you know, you do get to see some fantastic goals. So that's the reason that I pick these sort of obscure games as well, Derek, because it gives me a wee jog back memory lane, mate. That sort of.
Yes. So we'll be back with another classic match the next time. Now it's time for the news. Right, so the joys of not actually waiting weeks on end to do a podcast. We've not actually got that much news this time. Obviously, I mentioned it in the East Fife game. We signed Leicester midfielder Andy King on a season-long loan. 30-year-old, and he was part of the Premiership-winning side for Leicester, but he struggled to get first-team football over the past two seasons due to going out on loan and got an injury as well. St Brendan apparently wasn't made aware of it until the last minute. So that had all the Tims absolutely raging, the fact yep. that, you know, oh, this is Brendan, you know, helping Rangers, but, you know, not the case, obviously.
Well, I really didn't care about that, Derek. No. I didn't know much about the guy, but I have been told, especially by my son, who is more up on English football than I am, that he is a very good player, and he was quite surprised that, you know, we'd actually got him on loan, because he thought he was still a part of the, you know, the Leicester squad, but apparently he's not been for, you know, the last sort of season and a half or whatever. So certainly an experienced player, Derek, and, you know, a winner here, because he's won, like you say, they won the Championship, he's won the Premiership as well, so a good addition to the squad. And I have a wee sneaky suspicion that he might actually play in tonight's game. I might be wrong, but I just have a feeling that he might be playing. I think he came on against his Fife. I think that was maybe just to see what he was like fitness wise. But I think if he is fit, he could get his game tonight in the midfield as a wee extra player. But we'll wait and see how that pans out. But no, a very good addition to the squad.
Yep. A player going out is Josh McPake, has gone out on loan to Dundee until January, so obviously wish him well there, good experience for him. And apparently, you know, the Sun ran with a story, former Celtic player Darren O'Dea was instrumental in making the move there, and he's put out a tweet tonight saying, you know, I wish him well and all that, but I've never met him and I've never seen him play, so I don't know where they're getting that from. So, you know,
he's certainly a player, Derek, that any time I've seen him, he looks like a real quality player, so I'm glad that he's going to be getting game time. You know, he's going to Dundee, who I know they're down in the Championship now, but a big team, Derek, and a support that will demand that they're getting back up into the Premier League. And he's also been joined this week by another former player who did play for us, Derek, for a short period and went down to the lower leagues in England and scored a lot of goals. I was quite surprised to see him back. I don't know if you can remember him or not. Kane Hemmings?
Oh, I remember him.
Remember that name? Well, Dundee have signed him as well. So, you know, certainly a great goal scorer, you know, in the lower leagues in England the last few seasons. So that could be a wee partnership that you could see getting together in the Championship. So I'll be looking out for that one. So we just have to wish Josh McPake all the best, because I do think that he'll be one. If he does well, he'll get his chance maybe next season, Derek, so good move for him.
Hopefully puts a few past Dundee Hibs as well.
Exactly.
Yep. Next one here, a lone player who's already out at Portsmouth, Ross McCrory, may be converted to a right back on his loan. Their boss has said he's considering putting him in the right back position. So I hope that's something that's been agreed with Rangers and the player, because I wouldn't like to think that we've sent him down there for further development and he's going to get chopped and changed where he actually plays. That's not the way loans should work, is it?
Yeah,
it needs to be a reciprocal thing that benefits both three people, the club that he's going to, the club that he's came from, and obviously the player as well.
I actually looked at that match last night, Derek, to see if he was playing, and did notice that he was getting played in that position, which I thought was quite strange. And as you say, that's going to be a complete waste for that boy, because we all know him primarily as a defending midfielder or a centre-half, so, you know, I'm quite concerned about that, just like what you are, Derek, so we'll just have to wait and see what comes of that, but very strange, that one.
Yep. Joe Aribo has been called up to the Nigerian squad to face Ukraine in a friendly. This is despite Lee Boyer saying that Rangers were not the best club to develop him as a young player, though. You know, less than 2 months in our team, and, you know, he's already called up for the national squad, so fuck you, Lee Boyer.
Exactly. Shows you what you know.
Yep. We ain't going to fight with our own players again. We talked about them earlier on with their upcoming game, but the Orcs are absolutely raging that we are charging them £52 per ticket for the up-and-coming fixture. It's went up from £3 from last year. They are apparently in kind of, I don't know if this was already planned, but in response, they are opening up the Gyro Dome and screening the game in one of their suites, and they're charging a fiver for it. So they can do what the fuck they want, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, obviously we need to do, you know, some extra cleaning after they attend as well, so that will account for the £3 increase.
Exactly, yes. Yep. Lots of bottles of Febreze getting bought after that one.
need to replace the seats almost, I mean, you know, not because they're broken, just because they're, you know, disintegrated with their stench. So next thing here, it's not really Rangers related there. I can still hear you laughing in the background.
Okay.
Next thing here, not really Rangers related as such, but Ladbrokes have said they will not be renewing their sponsorship deal with the SPFL after the current season. Part of the reason is that their parent company are refocusing its efforts on responsible gambling, which means they'll be cutting back on their visibility in football. So the way it sounded initially when it broke is that, you know, the SPFL weren't doing enough to promote it, but it sounds as if it's been a parent company thing, and they're just trying to scale back what they're doing. Obviously obviously they're paying money into sponsorship. You know, obviously there's been a lot of focus on responsible betting and fixed odds betting terminals getting, you know, cut to £2 minimum, £2 maximum rather than £100, and bookies have lost money, so it might be a cut back and tighten your belts type thing with them as well. Hand it over to the SPFL to see if they can get any sort of sponsor.
Or to see if they can fuck it up like normal, Derek. That's what you're really meaning.
Well, yeah. So we've got the Tunnocks Caramel Wafer Challenge Cup. So it's quite obvious that we're going to be having the Tunnocks Caramel Wafer, you know, SPFL.
Exactly, so aye.
Mm-hmm. We'll see how that goes.
I'll wait with bated breath, Derek, to see what sort of shambles that they come up with, just like the last time when they were trying to convince everyone that they'd had a fantastic deal when everything got completely fucked up. So, no, we'll wait and see. I'm no holding out much hope for that one, to be honest with you.
Yep. And the last kind of story here I've got is concerning the Orcs again. I've kind of briefly mentioned it, is obviously they had to take Dunfermline the extra time before progressing, and they apparently had a penalty shout missed by the referee John Beaton. I think it was a handball or something in the box.
John Beaton, the well-known orange bin and season ticket holder at Rangers?
Allegedly so, yes. Frequents, you know, Rangers pubs and things like that.
Red Hand John, as he's known.
Allegedly. That prompted Celtic TV co-commentator Tom Boyd to say, "I'm mystified." "Well, I'm not mystified, John Beaton." "As though as if it's premeditated decision not to give that penalty because it was so late in the game. I'm not so sure. Hopefully we're going to beat not the 10 men, not the 11 men, but the 12 men of Dunfermline." And he went on to say about, you know, drinking in certain pubs after the game as well. And that's, you know, very strange that he never happened to mention the fact that Dunfermline got a stonewall or not given. But this has obviously then prompted the compliance officer to allegedly look into this.
Allegedly.
And their conspiracy theories know no bounds, really. And this is, you know, after Tom Boyd featuring on a documentary that was filmed inside Celtic Park, which had its premiere inside Celtic Park as well, about, you know, anyone but Celtic, you know.
Yeah.
And Celtic have came out and said that, you know, they're amazed that this has, you know, come forward to the compliance officer, and they will fight everything should any charges arise from that. So it's quite clearly that Celtic believe in this conspiracy theory as well with all this. It's honestly unbelievable.
Well, I mean, Tom Boyd, he won loads of trophies when he was at Celtic, Derek. Loads and loads of trophies. But I think the one thing that he won that he'll remember most of all in his life was when Brian Laudrup handed him his own boot during the match after he had ripped him for arse paper, you know, one too many times. Do you know, this is a guy, Derek, with a huge chip on his shoulder. It's that old, you know, mentality, you know, that generation of Celtic fans had, that the whole world was against them and they were, you know, cheated out of absolutely everything, you know, and an absolute nonsense. You really need to grow up. But again, it's drummed into us by these people, the likes of him, the likes of Sutton, the likes of Hartson, going right back to when he was playing, this whole thing that they're all victims and, you know, always cheated, never defeated attitude that they've got is absolutely shocking. And for him to come away with something like that, Derek, when he's actually live on air, regardless if, you know, his audience are primarily Celtic supporters on Celtic TV, it's an absolute joke to be coming away with something like that. Nothing will happen about it, Derek, but the thing that annoys me is if that happened on Rangers TV, let's say that was somebody like, you know, Peter Lovenkrantz, who does a lot of co-commentating with Tom Miller, or if that was, you know, Hugh Burns, or it was, you know, anybody, Alec Ray, anybody, it would get absolutely crucified. And there definitely would be action taken by the compliance officer. Well, 100% there would be. And that's what annoys me about it all. It's not the actual fact that he said that. I couldn't give a toss what he said, but there's double standards big time that we've spoke about hundreds of times here. And if that had been anything to do with us, we would have been punished for it. End of.
Absolutely. I mean, the reaction on Twitter as well has just been comical. You know, a Celtic fan came on saying that, you know, It's Celtic TV. It's meant to be broadcast outside the it's meant for people to pick it up outside the UK only. So how did the SFA get a hold of this then? It's an illegal stream that they must have got then. So that's how can you charge someone on an illegal stream, you know? And then it's prompted a Celtic supporting SNP MSP stated that there's absolutely no difference in him saying that or that on Celtic TV or compared with an after dinner event, somebody saying that. Well, there actually is, because Tom Boyd is acting in an official capacity for Celtic there. Mm-hmm. After dinner events are generally not officially endorsed by the club, and they're not organised by the club, they're organised by outside companies. So it's nothing to do with the club then, if somebody wants to say that. Just like one of our former players got caught saying a couple of bad things against Celtic and, you know, got pulled up for it. The club never got pulled up for it because he had nothing to do with the club at that point. So, you know, just idiocy from certain elements of the Celtic fan base, but always to be expected from them, isn't it?
Exactly. No, as Derek, and as I say, it's this whole always cheated, never defeated attitude that gets me about it. And but nothing will happen, Derek. It'll go away, and there'll be nothing more said about it. But just watch this space. If there's anything like that, you know, anything similar, which I hope there isn't, but there would definitely be action taken.
Yep. So, Amazon apologises after driver caught pooing in shopper's garden.
Superb, right, go.
If you think you're having a bad day at work, one poor sod at Amazon has just had to apologise after one of its drivers was filmed pooing in a shopper's garden. The grim footage shows a man in a high-vis vest who quite clearly doesn't give a shit, bending down and squatting before attempting to clean himself up and getting on his way. It was filmed by Rebecca Eleanor Reid from Swindon, Wiltshire, who of course posted it to social media for the world to see. In the background, you can hear a voice ask, "Did you see that?" as the man attempts to wipe himself clean. "Yeah, fucking minging, isn't it?" another voice responds as the driver's beard behind is pointing in the direction of the camera. At the end of the video, the brazen fella pulls his trousers back up before throwing away the mess and scrambling back over the fence.
What did he use to wipe himself with, Derek? Does he say? So the next time that you get handed an Amazon parcel, it comes to your door, just make sure you've got rubber gloves on. Is that what you're trying to say?
I would say so, yeah.
Dirty bastard. Okay, I'll never look at another Amazon driver the same way ever again.
Absolutely not, no. So, on that shitty note, we will end the podcast there. So it's been a rather quick one tonight, under an hour, which is incredible.
Yeah, it's for us, aye, definitely.
Absolutely. So, as ever, if you want to check us out on our social media pages, you can go to our website, which is iReadyPodcast.wordpress.com. You can see all of our gambit of social media sites, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Podbean, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, the lot.
Yes.
Yes, didn't really know where to go with that.
It's not new there, Lenny.
So, well, hopefully, obviously, I'll be back with a reaction pod tonight for the game. So, and then obviously, Dave and I will be back at some point in the next week or so. Depends on Dave's schedule and how many holidays he takes.
No, I've not got another holiday now for about another 7 weeks, mate.
Seven weeks.
Well,
I'm glad you got continuity there, because you said eight last week, so.
That's right, yeah.
Not that you're counting or anything.
Exactly. I can tell you exactly how many days, but I'll that's been really sad, but no. But it's 7 weeks in total, mate. Can't wait.
Oh, well. So, thanks for listening, and goodbye.
Good luck today, Gers. Enjoy the game, folks. Goodbye.
And the stadium erupts in red, white and blue. You've never seen anything like it.
Let's go.